All right, so I'd like to call the meeting to order. Approval of minutes is deferred until next month when we'll be in person. Should we make next month a party because we wouldn't have seen each other for a while? Any public comments?
Did Lori Hawkins come back in? Maybe she had something?
I don't see her.
So president's comments, not really much going on right now. Healthcare wise, with the mandates, the systems are starting to feel it because there are staff that are resistant and leaving. We're going to see that throughout all of the systems, but it's all the major systems have mandated. So I think we're all going to be in the same type of boat. So just kind of keep that in mind and when you're talking to patients and patients complain that they can't get in or something like that. But for the most part, I think pretty much most people are on board with getting it. I did see on the news today that the CDC is not recommending a third or a booster dose for the general public at this point. They feel it's not needed. So we have to see what if more research comes out on that. But at this point, it's just the high-risk patients, the immune-compromised. I don't know what they're going to do with people like nursing homes and healthcare and things like that. I don't have any other comments at this point. And corporate counsel.
Really not much to report. I would just say that I was thankful to be able to join up a little bit with the Alonzo Kelly presentation and also the orientation recently. So I thank you for the invitation and including me, and I thought those went well. But nothing else really of note for me to report on.
All right, thank you. On to health officer's report.
And I do see Julia is on by phone. I don't know if she can hear us. And then there must be another phone public in case there's any public comments later, I guess, or whatnot. But I will start in with a COVID update and all other updates. First, I'd like to welcome Dr. Dominique Pritchett. This is her first meeting with the Board of Health. She made it through the whole process. So yay, congratulations. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
And in other said, or Dominique, do you want to give a little bit of background or history about yourselves? Or
I just ate peanut butter, so this is going to be interesting. Yes, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Dominique Pritchett. I am a longtime community member of Kenosha. I grew up here. I live here. I am the CEO at Beloved Wellness Center, which is a private mental health practice in Kenosha, and we have services curated specifically for Black women and girls. I'm a speaker as well as a mental wellness consultant. So I'm very thankful to be here and look forward to working with you all.
Welcome. Thank you. We are super excited to have your expertise here. In other sad news, Charmaine put in his resignation. Charmaine had missed 4 of our 7 meetings this year. I had spoken to him. He wasn't able to attend the orientation, and according to our new bylaws, he could only miss 1 more meeting in the rest of the year. And so he had sincerely appreciated his time here, but time constraints just weren't allowing him to be able to be a member of the board. So that opens up another seat that the county exec will have to give us a name for. And then we have also coming up in February, I believe, John, was it you that your term is up in February?
I believe so.
So we have 2 seats opening up soon. Yes. So The county exec has been alerted, and we will await his appointment and go through the process again a couple more times.
Along with that, Jen, any recommendations from the health department and the board to Jim would be a big help too, I think.
Right, and we had submitted a list back when we first started filling some of our vacancies with Charmaine. So he still does have that list, but if you have any new names to add or any potential people, that would be wonderful.
Jen, if we could get kind of a list of when people will be rotating off. I don't remember when I started.
Karen has that. And I believe she sent it out back when we made our determination in the spring, but she can send it out again.
Good.
Yep. All right. So as far as COVID, currently between our two hospitals, we have 45 patients. Just to give this some context, at our worst, last November and December, 65 patients, 60 to 65 was our highest when bed capacity started getting really strained. So we are certainly inching very close to that. I've also heard reports from both hospitals, like Dr. Gerlach mentioned, of not only our staff potentially leaving, but more so that staff are contracting COVID. So that also limits staff capacity. So I think bed capacity will be more based upon staff capacity than it will be number of beds available. There was also a point last week where we were hearing that at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin, the children pediatrics beds were greatly limited. I guess at one point they were down to one available bed at that point last week. So it is concerning. We are certainly seeing a lot more children's cases than we ever did. I have to repeat, the original COVID-19 did not seem to stick to kids, but these new variants are. Kids are definitely our highest number of cases, and we're working with the schools. In fact, it's taking 1,000% of our resources to work on these school issues. We have also the home tests. Our Wisconsin Electronic Disease Surveillance System doesn't recognize home tests as a valid test. People should think of it as a pregnancy test. You know, you should then go to your doctor and get confirmatory testing. So for testing, they should go to a pharmacy or somewhere to get antigen or PCR COVID testing to confirm. The issue is that we can't verify that the person who took the test, that it was their nostril that had the swab. And so we are only even allowed to enter it into our system as a suspect case. So it doesn't even count toward the numbers. The other piece of that is that home testing doesn't get reported to the health department. We have no way of knowing who took a test or who bought a test. The only way we're hearing about it is if a concerned resident calls us at the health department and says, hey, I had a positive home test, then we can enter it and proceed. Or maybe they're sometimes calling their school and saying, hey, my child had a positive home test, in which case we are still treating them with all the isolation and quarantine guidelines. So there is a lack of testing out there. We had requested the National Guard to come this week and in a couple, 2 weeks. And the National Guard is taking a break, much to the dismay of health departments across the state. So they will hopefully be in our city on September 30th and October 1st, but that is not confirmed yet. Kenosha Community Health Center is also looking to get back into the game, but they, at this point, they are not yet as far as testing. We are still only able to do minimal testing at the health department. UW Parkside's testing will end at the end of this month. So there's a bit of a scare with testing resources not wholly available. Also, the labs are taking a bit longer to get tests back to us. We've seen some of our pharmacies whose labs don't come to us for 8 days. And of course, if somebody is positive, they're only isolated for 10 days. So by the time we get the lab result, it's a bit too late. Just for some other numbers as far as vaccination. So I think I said we have 45 total patients, 7 ventilated amongst our two hospitals. Vaccination, we have 46.9% of all Kenosha County residents have been fully vaccinated. And as far as those with at least one dose, it's only at 50%. It's a bit disheartening. We see on the national news that I think the number was something like 73% of adults in America have had at least one dose. Those adults are not in Kenosha County. We are nowhere near those numbers. So it's concerning, and that, you know, it's going to continue to spread. And largely the hospitalizations have been unvaccinated. In fact, a larger portion than we were expecting, because we did expect breakthrough cases, but the breakthrough cases have really been lower than we expected. So as far as hospitalization and deaths go. Also, another thing just to be aware, our caseload is greater than the health department has been able to handle. Part of that is WED's issues. They're several days behind in dropping in new lab cases. Part of that is our staffing issues. At the height last July, we were able to hire about 40 temporary staff to help us with the COVID response. Over the spring, when cases really started dropping, many of these staff left, went and got other jobs. We are down to 6 part-time staff right now. We have just now made an offer to hire 4 more disease investigators. So that would put us up to 10, but not even 10 full-time. So we are really, really struggling, worse than we ever have at any point in this pandemic, to keep up with the caseload. So several cases are unfortunately, due to all the delays with labs and the WEDs and everything else, are not even getting a call from the health department to tell them that they're positive. We certainly hope at this time people are very much knowing what isolation and quarantine is after 18 months of this, and that they are staying at home. And we're working with the schools to help mitigate the spread there. So there is a lack of staffing, and we have these, you know, the position is open permanently and we're not getting a lot of candidates. This is not unique to Kenosha County. We're hearing from all other health departments, even the state health department, that they're having a trouble getting temp staff back in to do this work. So.
That and is you guys are included in the mandate for vaccine, mandate for staffing, for staff to have vaccine?
So the county employees are not there yet. And I don't know, John, if you have any legal update on that.
No, I don't have any legal update at this time.
I think there's definitely talk about, and you know, especially with Brookside being under county government and the nursing services there. So I know that there is talk, but there has been no mandate as far as county government employees. Good question, though. So that's my very grim state of affairs in Kenosha County with COVID. Cases are climbing, hospitalizations are climbing. We expect to see deaths. Epidemiologically, deaths tend to follow 2 weeks after, you know, 2 to 3 weeks after cases climb. We've had a couple more this morning. So now begins the number of deaths that are going to start rising too. So it's extremely concerning. We still continue to recommend that schools, indoor places, that people mask. Of course, we have no mandate. And you know, that people are still social distancing and taking care. And we expect with, you know, football parties and, you know, weekend gatherings and weddings and funerals, that that will still continue to increase as the community still tends to gather. So it is very concerning to public health, and our resources are stretched extremely thin right now.
I'm finding in my office that people still, either they're too tired of it or they're still not getting it. They come in with an, oh, by the way, he was sent home from school on Friday and he needs a COVID test and I'm seeing him for something else. And well, yeah, dad's been sick for a week and he's been going to work. And no, he's not been tested. And like, they're not getting it.
Yeah, it's disheartening. And now, unfortunately, between our 11 school districts and all the private and parochial, they all have different plans. So that's what has been an immense challenge. It was last year, every school was on the same masking, quarantining, contact tracing plan. This year, every district, every school has different plans. So it's immensely, immensely hard to manage that from the public health side, being that everybody has their own rules and regulations now. All right, any other COVID questions?
Jen, have you all identified what are the biggest barriers to getting temp staff or just other staff in general? What's the word?
People just aren't applying. So for our disease investigation positions, they have to have some level of clinical knowledge or background. When we first were hiring, we were hiring only nurses. But now we'll take medical assistants, pharmacy techs, you know, anybody who has any type of clinical knowledge or understanding. The issue is that when we call people, the ones who are not screaming and hanging up on us are asking a lot of questions, right? Like, so they, you know, what does this mean? And what's going to happen to my kids? And, you know, so they're asking the clinical questions. We want to make sure that those on the other end of the line that are representing public health can answer those questions, but just not a lot of applicants.
Have we tried going through the nursing schools, the local colleges who are funneling?
Absolutely. We worked all last year with all the nursing schools. So they helped us in disease investigation. And then they helped us at the SHOPCO with vaccination. It's an incredible amount of work utilizing students because they have to have a preceptor. And then when we triage cases and their schedules are very, very limited. And so it ends up becoming more work. And we still always, though, continue. We have all the connections with Carthage, Herzing, you know, Gateway and UW-Parkside with all of those nursing instructors. And we're trying to work out unique scenarios with that.
Hey, Jen. This is Julia. Do we have anything going as far as preemptively trying to work with the schools on things like homecoming or prom? Like, can we get the rapid testing? You know, you get tested before you walk in the door. Is there anything that we can do for that? Because, I mean, it's a disaster waiting to happen.
So the state health department saved and held back enormous amounts of money in order to have a statewide testing program. And they put out testing, rapid testing, free programs to all the schools in the entire state. None of the ones in Kenosha bought into it. And I don't mean bought, like paid for it. They just didn't want to do testing in the schools. So
can that be made public? I mean, that knowledge should be made public because there's a whole lot of parents out there that should be speaking to the school board because there's a whole lot of people who would be saying, wait a minute, there's this program. You could be keeping my kids safe. You could be keeping grandma safe by testing the kid. I mean, if they don't know that it's out there, I know, I understand that you may be in a bit of a touchy situation, but I guess at what point does that come down to the Board of Health needing to speak up and say, look, there's this program and, you know, the schools are not taking advantage of it?
I think, you know, the testing issue, each school had to get their own CLIA waiver. There were many barriers to getting that into place. However, the state and local health departments weren't really even a part of that. We certainly said to all of our school districts, hey, if you wanted to go this route, we'll be there to help and support you. But because this wasn't our program, we didn't know all the details. They certainly had to work with the state health department. And I know that the state health department still has that option open. Even now, they can still jump into the testing program and get trained and get set up with a lab and get all the supplies. It is a self-swab, meaning that, you know, there would have to be people in the school to monitor the child or the staff as they take their swab and test and whatnot. So it's a pretty big program to put on. I know it's a lot of work. And we continue to forward the state's information to all the school districts and let them know that this is still an option.
Okay.
But if you, as the Board of Health, have any recommendations or actionable things that you feel we could do, I am all ears. And we can chew on that. So I'll jump to the non-COVID updates. First of all, our electronic medical record, as you guys may remember who have been around, we currently are under an electronic medical record that has not been working for us for years, and it has been a problem. We got the funding and the approval to move forward with Patagonia, which is a new electronic medical records that it has been developed for local health departments. It is a pretty robust system. And Lori Plummer, our clinical services manager, will begin that implementation and planning for that in October. So more to come on that, but we are hoping very much in the early 2020 that that will be completely rolled out. Of course, it takes a long time with all the training and transfer of data, et cetera, but it is something that the health department has been desperately, desperately in need of. And so we're excited to move forward to that. Both the City of Milwaukee Health Department and the city or the Madison-Dane County Health Department have also bought into Patagonia. And Eau Claire. So we are hoping with these other municipalities that, you know, as more buy on, it will also help with patient transferability. So if somebody moves from Milwaukee to Kenosha, that, you know, records can be shared as well there too. We're also working on many interfaces through both laboratories, through the state, the WEDS, the WER, through other systems, so that we can work as in unity across all these other systems with our electronic medical records. So more to come on that. There is a, through the de Beaumont Foundation, if you don't know who the de Beaumont Foundation is, they are one of local public health's biggest champions nationally. They are a foundation that does a ton of research and work toward local public health. They are doing a very large national study called the Public Health Workforce Interest Needs Survey, which we have committed to and we are a part of. The great part about this is that we will be able to extrapolate Kenosha specific workforce interest and needs that we can utilize to develop our workforce development plans. And so that started yesterday. It'll continue for the next 2 weeks. We're pretty excited about being part of this research. And the information in this survey also goes to help many, many doctoral students around the country to formulate their research and dissertations. So we will be able to advance the field of public health nationally on that level. Just a little bit of information. We have been extrapolating our numbers from our environmental health program, all the restaurant licenses, tourist rooming houses, pools, parks, all of that. And we could definitely see that from 2019 to 2020, COVID, you know, we took a hit at the time when we weren't inspecting restaurants and restaurants were even closed for that period of time. And all of that was happening. Financially, we took a hit on that. You will see next month at the October board meeting all of these details. So I do need to just reinforce, sorry, sidebar, that everybody shows up in person. We must have a quorum next month's meeting in October in person so that we can pass the budget. So just a reminder for that, please, please clear your calendar to make sure you are there. But you will see that our environmental health numbers took a hit in 2020. And we are already back up and projected that by the end of 2021, we will have exceeded our 2019 numbers. So this is really good news because it shows that even through a 100-year pandemic, that, and this is just a snapshot of one of our programs because that's one, you know, 17% of our revenue is from licenses and fees, that we were able to bounce back that quickly in just a year's time and exceed where we were pre-pandemic. So that is some really good news I just wanted to share with you there. We have just completed a three-part series on diversity, equity, inclusion, crucial conversations. And that was Monday and Tuesday of last week, as John Moyer mentioned. And then we had a follow-up to staff yesterday. And so we continue along with our equity strategic plan and modifying and trainings and modifying policies and procedures and improving programs and services. So the equity work strongly continues every day. And so I just wanted to announce that. And then one last piece of information is, as you all might recall, our Narcan grant was set to expire on August 31st. And we were devastated because that Narcan grant has been doing amazing work getting Narcan out into the community, training people. And in the meantime, we applied for a SAMHSA grant, and the SAMHSA grant was going to allow us not only to keep Narcan, but to progress our overdose response initiative much further. There were only 15 in the country. We weren't quite sure we'd get it because it's very hard and competitive to get a SAMHSA grant, but we were awarded the SAMHSA grant for the next 3 years. It is a sizable program. Which will allow us to hire some staff to focus solely on what we are calling CORI, the Kenosha Overdose Response Initiative, K-O-R-I. And so that has to proceed through in October through Finance and Human Services and then on to the County Board. We're developing the resolution now, but we're super excited. This is this is a huge win for Kenosha County and the city of Kenosha to be able to offer these services. It'll allow us to expand our use of 211, where, you know, utilizing that system for the community to call together and be in touch with resources. And it will allow us to have a mobile unit that will go to families after a member has experienced an overdose, and not only worked with that person who has had that experience, but work with their families and get them hooked up with resources as well too. So I will share many more details as it goes through the county board process. And we're super excited that we'll be able to bring that service, a much, much needed service after everything that's gone on with the pandemic. So that is one of the many ways we're working on substance use and mental health through the SAMHSA grant. So that is super exciting. And that is the end of what I have to share in my report, unless you have any questions.
Jen, this is Rita. I missed that first couple of minutes of the meeting, and I was just wondering who is up for transitioning out at this point?
So Charmaine just put in his resignation letter us. So he effective immediately. And then in February, John O'Day's term is up.
Okay. So we're doing it like when our term is up. So like when our 4 year or whatever it is, that's when we'll transition out. Okay.
Correct. If you recall, and Karen will resend the schedule, because we didn't want a dearth of all of your knowledge to leave at one time, right? So we had worked with John Moyer and set up sort of like the schedule of whose term would end when. And for those of you who are new, or any community members that maybe on our previous bylaws did not necessarily have terms at all. So we had board members that were on for 10 plus years. We are trying to get back to term limits so that we can get more of our community involved and become more of an advisory board with some fresh new perspectives in the Board of Health as well. So we are staggering, if you will, the expiration, so we don't have a knowledge dearth all at one time.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Jen? Any other business as allowed?
Diane, I'd just like to make mention of the meeting tonight. If anybody's familiar with behind the Kenosha Unified School District offices, used to be Big Lots, now it's part of Kids. Bear Realty Development owns all that property back there. And Public Works and Human Services Committee are having an open house tonight at the Kids office to show how it's been remodeled and to explain to people how we may end up remodeling the rest of that area where the Sun Foods was, and eventually, hopefully, move out of the job center at one time, which is down 2-3 years down the road. It's called the Wilson Heights thing. I don't know if anybody on the board has seen any of the conceptual things. There was some articles in the paper about it. But there is an information meeting tonight about it. And actually, everybody at the first meeting I went to was very much in favor of it. It's an opportunity zone where Bear has to own the property for 5 years. Then the county would take over ownership after the 5 year time period. And it's kind of a long story, but it's a very positive thing for the health department, for the job center overall. Relocation.
Thank you, John, for bringing that up. And I just shared my screen. This is a architectural mock-up of what that may turn into. If you recall, Kenosha Human Development Services is sort of over here. The Kenosha Unified School District Admin Building is up along the road here. And this is much will come out of, you know, 2022's architectural mock-ups and whatnot, but a two-story glass atrium, lots of community meeting rooms, community space. And then the health department would be somewhere along here. And we will definitely want all of the Board of Health's input, involvement, advice as to how this can look. Certainly this location will be much more centralized for the city and even the county, you know, you'll see a bus. I mean, the bus actually comes into the parking lot. So it's a much easier for the community with transportation needs to get here. And, you know, certainly with our teeny tiny clinic and our teeny tiny lab, we are very excited to be able to expand, grow services and programs, have more space, and be able to utilize this location. So yes, there's the open house tonight, I believe on the 22nd at 6:30, John is the board taking a tour of the current job center building. And then on the 29th at 6:30 will be a walkthrough of the current building as it is. There is no corner building. There's like city trends here. The other businesses up along the right, there's a, I believe a Chinese restaurant, the taqueria, the laundromat, all of those would stay. So the county building, I believe, would exist from here to here or something of that nature. And the Kenosha market was here, city trends here. And so they're clearing out like the Kenosha market. And on the 29th at 6:30, people, it's open to the public to be able to walk through. So we're super excited to think that this could be happening in the next 2 or 3 years and what the health department can and should look like in this brand new space.
Thank you.
No, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, that sounds like that's a awesome. Better location for, it's more centralized, definitely, for those lower income, more walking distance for everybody instead of way down Sheridan.
Absolutely.
Any other board comments or public comments?
Dr. Gerlach, I agree with you. You know, having been a consumer for a long time of all of our services and a lot of my clients still working in that area, it makes the most sense. And I think it's been necessary for so many years. So I'm super glad to see that moving forward or being considered.
Definitely, it might be definitely. A boon also to those few stores that are going to still be there. More traffic for them.
It'll be hundreds of more traffic. So we're all very excited with the Mangonadas. At the taqueria there.
I just want to mention also the gas station in front of 52nd and the old Midas muffler shop, that's coming down too. It'll clean up that whole area. It'll look so different, so nice.
Just a short ways down from the Shopco and right across from Tenuta's and close to the KUSD administration. So very, very exciting.
Any other questions or comments?
Motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
So moved. See you guys next month in person.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.